Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with people,
a variety talk show,
giving all the power to the same.
That were only going to bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you all so much for tuning in and to continue to support this show. A few months ago, Kanaya Tatum and I, who we're both, and I've shared with you before that I have a son with Down syndrome and she has a daughter with Down syndrome, well, we started a Facebook page called Expressions of Silent Voices to support as well as launch our own campaigns. And our primary focus is bullying individuals with disabilities and special education. Well, we launched our first campaign yesterday, which was also Down Syndrome Awareness, World Down Syndrome Day, and the campaign is called Enough, Ending Negativity to Unite, to Unify Families, an anti-bullying campaign. And I would like to first take a quick second and thank our awesome team and helping us bring this all together, who are also parents of children with Down syndrome. But I just wanted to throw out there that the campaign is not specifically for children with Down syndrome. It includes all children with disabilities. But I want to thank the team, Brandon Tatum, Stefan Cooks, Terry Kendall, and also Colleen Gray. Kanaya and I really and truly appreciate your dedication and hard work for bringing this all together. One out of three children is bullied each year. Children with disabilities are at a higher risk of being bullied than their peers. Enough, and it's spelled E-N-U-F, is an anti-bullying campaign that will encourage families and promote positivity in their homes and families. And for more information, and throughout the campaign, it's a six-month campaign, but throughout the campaign, we'll also be sharing a lot of resources and information and as well as this series that's on the Yvonne Pierre Show, and it's called the Enough Series. But for more information about the campaign, please visit the website at enuf.esilentvoices.com and take the pledge and pass on the information. And you can also visit us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/esilentvoice. And I really encourage you to help us spread the word. Starting today, in support of the Enough campaign, the Yvonne Pierre Show will be doing the Enough series, like I just mentioned, over the next 6 weeks. We will be discussing various aspects of bullying, and we have some amazing guests lined up. Today is our first show on the Yvonne Pierre Show as part of the Enough series. And today's show is focused on the bully's perspective. And our guest, which I'm really excited to have him here, his name is Thomas Gagliano, who was once a bully himself but is now a life coach and author of the book The Problem Was Me, which I love the title, by the way. Tom has a bachelor's degree in marketing and a master's degree in social work. Tom is highly motivated, and successful entrepreneur with a proven track record in small business ventures. Tom has also been a high-profile leader in addiction and self-help therapy. He has helped develop unique methods and procedures, which has helped numerous institutions and individuals in the greater New York area. Having been featured as a keynote speaker at a number of meetings and conferences in New Jersey, Tom has become a regular on the speaking circuit. And for more information about Thomas Gagliano, please visit his website, and that's www.thomasgagliano.com. And let me unmute him. Welcome, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for that introduction. My pleasure.
I'm really, like I just mentioned, I love the title, The Problem.
So did my wife, by the way.
I absolutely love it. It speaks volumes to me. But tell us a little bit about it and what inspired you to write it.
Well, like in many cases, in many situations, you need devastations in your life in order to have a miracle. And I grew up in a very troublesome, tough childhood, many addictions. My father was a real abusive alcoholic. If he didn't come home at a certain time, it meant he was going to come home drunk. And Yvonne, if he came home drunk, it meant he was going to hurt someone. So that's kind of what I grew up with. And my mother was a teenager herself when I was born. She really didn't have the capabilities of giving me what I really needed as a baby. So let me start with that. And to tell you that, yeah, I was a bully as a kid. I had an anger inside of me, and I wanted to hurt others the way I was hurting inside, which, if you think about it, many times bullies are victims first. You know, a kid that's a bully was probably acting out what was done to them, whether it's teasing, whether it's physical anger or whatever the action is, it's usually what was done to them in their childhood. And that's why I really believe that bullying begins at home. You know, we can want schools to do their thing, and they should do their thing to keep kids safe, but we have to do what we need to do as parents. So I'll go back to where my book came from. As I said before, I was the kind of kid that you wouldn't want your children to play with me, okay?
Right.
You would say, stay away from that kid. That kid's an angry kid, and that's what I was. And because I didn't fix that damage inside of me, I developed addictions, just like my dad and his dad and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And eventually, I did always have the ability to make money. I was pretty good in the world of business, basically because I didn't have to let anybody close. I kept people at bay, which you could do in business. You don't have to become intimate with anybody. You just got to be a good salesman.
Right.
And I was. But eventually, it caught up to me. The damage inside of me caught up to me, and my wife left me with my children, and I realized that if I didn't fix what was broken inside of me, I was going to lead a very lonely life. And I did. I did what I had to do. I went to get help in therapy, retreats, 12-step fellowships, and basically I fixed that damage inside of me, and then I really had two goals after that. One was to be the father that my father couldn't be to me. I wanted to give my children what my father couldn't give me, a shoulder to cry on, a safe place at home, a place where they knew everything was not going to be lit up by bombs every night. And I also wanted to help other people with destructive messages, other people that had their messages turn into bully roles, victim roles, addictive roles, caretaking roles, where we take care of everybody and we can't figure out why we don't take care of ourselves. All of these roles that people were set up to play by their childhood messages. I was suggested by a priest and a rabbi, no less, that I should write a book on my methodology. I wrote the book. I met a Dr. Abraham Twersky, very famous author in the self-help world. He read my book and said, Tommy, We got to get this out. He said, ironically, to my surprise, he said, especially to clinicians. That's who's got to read this book. I said, okay, whatever you say. I went back to school at 51 for my master's in social work, and I started to help people professionally. Now, I had been helping people free of charge many years, for about 10 years in schools, in churches, and in my house, really helping them understand how their childhood messages have really imprisoned them to play really destructive roles in their life. But since January, I did this professionally as a life coach mentor, and I've been very surprised at the amount I run groups helping parents give their children the positive messages that might have been denied to them. And I also do a lot of marriage consultations. So I just gave you where I'm up to today.
Wow. I want to commend you. I think one of the hardest things for most people is to look at themselves in the mirror and admit when we're wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. But you took it a step further. You not only saw that there was something that needed to change, but you also, you had the strength and the courage, which I think it takes strength and courage to do that. And now you're, and I think in order for us to grow, we have to be able to to look at ourselves and say, okay, this is something that I need to work on. Instead of beating ourselves up, we take the step to change it. And like I said, I commend you for that. I strongly believe that in order to solve any problem, you have to get to the root of it. So help us understand from your experience and perspective where bullying stems from.
Bullying stems from a message in childhood that you're not good enough, a message that you're not worthy, you're not valuable. And, of course, the message begins with your parents, I mean your caregivers, rather. They
yeah.
show you how to view the world and how the world views you. Mm-hmm. The messages you receive as a child are going to dictate, as I said before, the roles you play or the roles that you're set up to play in your life. And it begins with those messages. If I feel like something's wrong with me and I'm apart from the rest of the world, I'm going to create an inner pain inside. Now, I may not be a bully. I might be a victim to a bully. I may show bullies a target on my back when I isolate or when I, you know, look like I can't take care of myself, which is the unfortunate part of the people that have disabilities. I mean, they're not able naturally to take care of themselves, and that's why bullies target more so in that area than in other areas. But bullies target those that they can bully, like they were bullied. I mean, most of the bullies in this world were bullied by people that were bigger and stronger than them. Could be parents, siblings, whoever, teased, physically bullied, whatever. And if we don't fix the damage inside of us at an early age, and what I do talk about in my book, The Problem Was Me, is those early childhood messages. And that's what I do in my groups. I run men's groups and women's groups, and I try to get people to expose what I call in my book that inner critic, which I call the warden, that little voice inside our head that doesn't go away early from childhood, tells us what we're doing wrong all the time, never allowing us to celebrate victories because all we focus on is I'm not good enough, I'm not, you know, whatever. And I get people to focus on that warden so they can silence that darn voice and really be who they want to be, not who they were set up to be.
Yeah, I like the way you call that, that voice, the warden. I think we all have that, which is that self-doubt, that guilt.
Yep.
That voice inside of us that tells us that we can't, we won't, who we are not, and
right.
I think that captures that title warden is very powerful because it's you are in prison.
Exactly. You got it.
So,
you said it better than me. Thank you. That's
no,
right.
I mean I really like the way that you deliver the message. And typically, you know, when someone is doing something that, you know, period. Anytime we're doing anything, there's something we're getting out of it, whether it's good or bad.
Right.
What are the bullies getting out of bullying?
Well, there is a feeling of a distorted self-righteousness that they get out of it. It's I said before, for me, is, see, when I wanted the world to pay the bill for what happened to me as a kid. Now, I was abused in just about every way you could be abused as a kid, and I wanted the world to pay the bill. And when the world didn't live up to my expectations and act and think exactly the way I wanted the world to act and think, I had what I call is this destructive entitlement. That's where I gave myself permission to act in ways regardless of the harms it caused me or other people. So a destructive entitlement occurs that it's distorted now. It doesn't make sense. But the bully gives themselves permission and feels they're entitled to the actions that they do. And that's the best way I could explain it.
I think, too, one of the things you touched on earlier, which is what this campaign is based on, that it starts at home. Let's say a parent is bullying their child, bullying, you know, and the child is taking it out on kids at school, like you just mentioned. It becomes an outlet, taking it out on other kids. Is there anything adults outside of the home can do to help the child, whether the child is the victim or the bully?
Yeah, I think the only way that you help a child is to get them into some kind of a treatment, a therapeutic setting. And the key is to, and this is where the professionalism comes in, where the child is safe enough to talk about his feelings. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, especially at a young age. Kids can't always talk about their feelings, but that's the only way to bring that those feelings up to the light and then talk about what that's like. Bullies have an exterior where you see their anger or their actions, but their interior does not match their exterior. Inside, they feel unworthy, less than, they're in pain, they don't feel that they're deserving of anything. Now, you don't see that from the outside, but in the inside, these are damaged people. And
yeah,
in order to help them, you need to bring the insides out and talk a little bit about that. It's not easily done. That's the reason why I talk a lot about it's really so important for the parents, and I talk about some tips that they can use. But, you know, here's the whole thing, Yvonne. If a parent has a warden guiding their life, no matter how much they want to, no matter how much they love their child or not, they're going to give that warden right to their child.
Yeah.
That's why, again, my book, The Problem Was Me, is about responsibility. The parent needs to take the responsibility to fix what's broken inside of them. And if they don't do that, if they're not getting help for their damage, it is very difficult not to give that inner critic right to your child and just keep the damage going from generation to generation.
Yeah. How did you get to the point where things started turning around from you? I think you kind of mentioned it earlier, but what was the turning point for you?
You know, it's funny because the biggest monster in my life, if you will, was the person that turned it around for me. That was my father.
Mm.
My father was as I said, an alcoholic that was very abusive. You know, he put me in the hospital on an occasion and my mother a few times. And I had no relationship with him, of course. I didn't trust him. And he had gone to rehabs for his addictions. And he became a very different person, became very spiritual, and became a wonderful grandfather to my children. And the turning point really was my mother had called me one day and said to me, you know, my father was stricken with stomach cancer and it had spread all over. He was in the hospital. It was 15 years ago, and he was terminal. And my mother said, listen, I think you should go see your father. I don't know how long he has. So I went to the hospital that day, and two things occurred. One, I grabbed a hold of a priest, and I said, listen, do me a favor. I said, could you talk to my father? He's in that room. And I don't know what kind of spirituality he has or whatever, but maybe he's got to talk to somebody because he's terminal, he's dying, this cancer had spread. Well, the priest, to my surprise, comes out of the room and goes, "That guy's your father?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "That guy's got more spirituality than anybody I know." Whoa, where'd he get that from? It was an amazing transformation.
Yeah.
So I walked into the hospital room, and I'm sitting near him, and he was hooked up to all of the medications and stuff. He was very frail, and he said to me, oh, and we were talking, and I got up to leave. He said, "Sit down for a minute. I want to tell you something." He said, "You know, I was sitting where you were sitting 20 years ago when my father, who would be my grandfather, was dying of lung cancer. He says, I never could tell him that I loved him, and I never could tell him that I cared for him. He says, and I don't want that to happen to you." And I sat there looking at this frail man, and I said, you know, in all the pain he's in, with all these things hooked up, he's seeing my pain. It was a very powerful moment for me.
Yeah.
And when I got up from the hospital chair and I went to say goodbye and I touched his hand, he grabbed my hand, he pulled me close, and he started to cry. And I had never, ever seen my father cry, other than when he used to beat me to a tar, and then in a drunken stupor, he would say he was sorry, which didn't count, really.
Yeah.
But he was crying. And I remember I walked out of the hospital just like with all these emotions flaring up, and he had passed away shortly after that. And about 3 months later, my mother had given me his journal book, and I started to read his journals, and I started to understand that, you know, he wasn't a 10-foot monster. He was a human being that had the same demons I had, the same fears I had, the same everything I had. He was me, and I was him. And
yeah.
I just saw him in a humanistic way. I right-sized him, in other words. And I really believe, for me, that at that point, I started to first forgive him, in essence, forgive myself. And I want to make this clear. There is nothing more important to a bully than to find self-compassion for themselves. If they feel love for themselves, they're not going to bully. And that's, again,
yeah,
what I talk about with parents. If you build self-esteem and if the child loves themselves, I don't mean ego stuff where you walk around saying how great you are,
right,
but an inner love within yourself, you're not going to be a bully, period.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I think that started me towards moving in the right direction in my life.
Wow, that's very powerful, and what I love. I love, of course, all of what you said. That's a very powerful story. But one of the key things that you said is you had to forgive.
Right.
You know, forgive him and your dad, and also forgive yourself.
Right.
Which is very powerful. And before we go, what are some tips for parents to help raise their child with better self-esteem, and as well as their own?
First and foremost is a safe environment. You need to have a safe environment where your child can tell you anything that they feel, whether it's in a nice way, not an angry way, but where,
yeah,
they can share their fears, their feelings, their sexual orientation if need be. If you provide a safe place at home where your child feels safe enough to share with you, that's the first key in really giving them the self-esteem, not only not to be a bully, but also not to be a victim to bullies. That's the foremost thing. And there's a few other things. And that's, you know, I talk about when I see my child suffering or struggling, instead of reacting, you know, all of us as parents, we want to guide, we want to be the lecturers and tell them,
right,
what they're doing right and wrong. But sometimes I hesitate. Instead of reacting, I say, what would I have wanted to hear from my parents at that age? I let compassion guide what I say a little bit, and that, I think that's really important. And another very important tip is that you need to let your child know that they can make mistakes in life. You,
yeah,
know, that when they stumble, it's okay to have compassion for themselves. If a child has not developed the proper amount of compassion for themselves, they're not going to have compassion for other kids. That's another phase of bullying, not having compassion for yourself, therefore not having compassion for other kids. So my point is, don't give them give them the message that they can fail in life. It doesn't mean, I mean, they can fail at times, it doesn't mean they are a failure. And they
right.
can make mistakes at times. It doesn't mean they are a mistake. I was identified internally as a mistake with my parents. So every time I slipped, that warden would come tumbling into me, identifying my whole being as a mistake. Very important to give your kids a little leeway. And I don't mean not give them consequences. I'm talking about consequences through love and letting them know that you can slip in life. It's okay. I'm still there for you.
Yeah. I think oftentimes as parents, and I agree 100%, I think oftentimes as parents we are so focused on, like you said, trying to guide and be the leader in the house, and we shut our kids out. We get caught up in what we're going through, and we don't allow them. We somehow forget that our kids are human.
Yeah, and they want to be heard. Right.
Right.
And the last thing I say, and this is a very important point I talk about in my book, The Problem Was Me, and that is if you're not working on your warden, you're going to give it right to your kid.
Yeah, yeah. Where can people go to get a copy of your book, find out more information, and to get in touch with you?
Well, I'll give you an easier website, www.theproblemwasme.com. That's another website that will take you to my YouTube videos. I have radio and TV videos on there, and I also have a free chapter to download about spirituality on my book. So if you're interested,
okay,
you can do that. And any questions anybody has, shoot them, leave them to me on that website, and I'd be glad to answer them.
Thomas Gagliano, thank you so much for doing all that you're doing to make a difference, and thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Oh, and my book you can get on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. I always forget to say that. But thank you. I always, you know, I forget about this stuff. My publisher's always saying, don't forget. But listen, thank you very much. It was my pleasure. And anytime you want me back, it would be my pleasure to come back and talk more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tune in Tuesday, March 26th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern for part two of the Enough series, which will be discussing the effects of bullying with our guest, Tamara Hill. Help us also get the word out about the campaign and visit the website, which is the easiest way is www.esilentvoices.com, and also like and share our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/esilentvoice. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Tom, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
Now I know God will help me.